and Jesuit activist Reverend Daniel Berrigan. At 11 today on Between the Covers, David Naiman interviews writer Idra Novi about ways to disappear, her debut novel of ideas and intrigue. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk presents an encore broadcast of an interview with Portland writer and teacher S. Renee Mitchell. Coming up next, it is Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support in our spring membership drive. Thanks to you, we had a strong finish and ended less than $5,000 from our goal. Thanks so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Fellow Americans.
Hello, teenage America. My name is Susie Cream Cheese.
Ah, the French. Yes, that's right. It's Mother's Night. It's that time of year again. And for over 35 years, on the Friday before Mother's Day, KBOO honors our mothers, mothers of invention, that is, with an annual all-night marathon celebrating the early recordings of those untamed geniuses, the mothers of invention. Beginning at 10 p.m. this Friday night and going till 6 in the morning, 8 very short hours from the canon of Frank Zappa featuring rare mothers of invention recordings, unreleased audio disturbances, concert excerpts, dance contests, Zappa interviews, television invasions, fuzzy dice, and rare recordings that the collectors bring in every year that you've probably never heard before, not even last year. So join us for Mother's Night this Friday night at 10 p.m. here on 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, May 5th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio made by real people, just like you, just like me. It's like all our friends, fellow members, volunteers, everyone who makes this happen, especially those who called during our recent membership drive with a generous support for alternative radio. Thank you, especially because you make all of this happen. You make 90.7 FM on the air and KBOO.FM on the web. All of it happens because of you. The weather for today around Cascadia, our local bits anyway. Today we are looking at partly sunny skies with a high near 71 eventually. Northwest winds 5 to 11. And tonight, a few more clouds moving in, lows around 54. Mild winds 9 to 14. And they could start gusting around up to as high as 22 miles per hour later on this evening. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 79 and windy a bit. Again, gusting up to around 18 miles per hour, 20 miles per hour, something like that. And tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows around 55. And again, we've got those winds starting out at 9 to 14 and getting themselves cranked up to 22 miles per hour at some point during the evening. As we always say, don't wait up for it. And there you have it. Well, our guest today is Steve Bashuda. He's one of the main lawyers with Earth Justice in a case involving what else? The Columbia and Salmon Rivers. In the news, it is reported, the real news here is the way in which it's reported. It is reported exclusively from a white perspective. It's like, oh, commercial fishermen, they're going to be happy, you know, and so forth. So it's the way it's reported is really extraordinary and bears looking into. But what actually happened is that U.S. And the court sided with wild salmon and communities. The Fed's Columbia Snake River Salmon Plan was again found illegal after last summer's catastrophic fish kill caused by warming rivers. And don't forget, Oxbow Stream, up at Cascade Locks. That's the one that Nestle wants.
Sam's on the phone.
The stream up at Cascade Locks, that's the one that Nestle's got her beady little eyes on. That's the only stream left that really has waters cool enough for salmon. What we should say to Nestle is find another place and put ice in it if you want cool water. That said, we have our guest waiting patiently on the line. We've got just a couple of headlines to race through. Moving over to the East Coast in the D.C. direction, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says that Donald Trump, as a Republican Party's presumptive presidential nominee, has the opportunity and the obligation to unite the GOP. And McConnell should know, because he himself is one of the most divisive figures ever to come down, rolling down the pike. Now, federal and state regulators say the main cause of an explosion in 2014 in southeastern Washington at a natural gas facility was inadequate procedures that allowed oxygen to remain in the system. No, it wasn't inadequate procedures. It was the natural gas that blew up, not the procedures. Okay, thanks. And moving right along, federal officials are putting in emergency fuel breaks in southwestern Idaho. They're already concerned about wildfire risk. And they say it's not going to be as bad this year, but then nothing touches what we had last year. This year, if it's even a tad better, it will be something. But nonetheless, it's cumulative. And weather is not climate. That's something we often forget. The lawyers for the occupiers of the wildlife refuge who demanded that all rules be cast aside for them, let their friends out of jail, hand over land to them, of course. You can't just do those kind of things. It's not even possible. Nonetheless, they want They want a different jury pool because they expect that Portland's a little too liberal for them. Well, what are we going to do? Go out in the sticks and bellow our lungs out and try to see what, shake the trees and see what falls out. And again, tailor an ideal jury just for them, just as they want other conditions that, to be created just for them. Exceptionalism, yeah, it is definitely exceptionalism on steroids. We've got other news, but here is this is wonderful news, what has just happened. But again, the fact that we are even remotely surprised says a great deal more about the policies that the feds tried to run through. U.S. District Court invalidated the federal government's 2014 Columbia Basin salmon, the biological opinion, or the bio. This was Judge Michael Simon ruled that the latest plan, like each one of its four predecessors, violates not just the Federal Endangered Species Act, but also the National Environmental Policy Act. That's that NEPA thing that you keep seeing in all these documents, thinking, what the hell, NEPA, what's that? Well, you know that's what it is, and that's what has been violated, and that's what Judge Michael Simon says no to. And the one reason why is because of the lawsuit brought by Earth Justice, and we're speaking today with one of Earth Justice's attorneys. Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
You're welcome. Happy to be with you.
Well, the four pretty. When are they going to finally learn that we're not having it? Tell us a little bit about this, how this decision came about.
Sure. Well, as you alluded to, this is just another in a long line of decisions from the courts that the government has been perpetually failing wild salmon and steelhead and the communities up and down the river and up and down the West Coast that depend on them. This decision puts a fine point on the fact that this is strike five for the federal government on these plans. In our world, three strikes and you're out. We're up to five now, and this is a very significant ruling, in the sense that not just for its number, its order, but very much so for getting at the very heart of some of these issues, and tackling them in a very straightforward way. And so we're extremely pleased with the decision that came out yesterday. The court was very clear as to what the expectations are And we expect, very much expect, that the federal government finally has to sit up and take notice and say, it's time to stop trying to deny and avoid the problem and actually deal with the things that we need to do in order to solve it.
And so part of the solving the problem, what are the chances now of removing those four lower Snake River dams?
Well, biologically, they have always been good. And even more so today than, you know, 15 years ago when people first started really working on this in earnest. More than that, probably 20 years ago. As we saw last summer, you mentioned the warm temperatures and stream temperatures in your previous statements, and you know, we saw this last summer. More than 250,000 fish died in the Snake and Columbia rivers last year as they migrated back up to their spawning grounds because the rivers were too hot. Now, part of that had to do with the fact that we had an extraordinarily dry and hot summer, but another factor that doesn't get as much discussion and is just as much a culprit is the fact that we have these dams on this system that create reservoirs that warm these waters and exacerbate all those problems. Last summer showed us very starkly what a climate change future looks like, and it also showed us very starkly that we're not ready for it, not even close. And one of the central decisions in this ruling is that, in fact, the government hasn't taken climate change seriously, hasn't planned for the future. And that is just another reason why these four dams on the Lower Snake need to come out. They are a big part of the problem, and they're making existing problems worse. And at the same time, their value to the rest of the region has been declining substantially.
So regarding the warming water, of all of the various changes that we see as a result of climate change, the warming of the water makes plain as day the fact that when we talk about climate change, we really mean habitat change, because the warming waters are not an artifact of climate change. They are climate change. Mm-hmm. It seems that this is an awful lot of water to warm up. Anybody who's ever tried to make a cup of tea in a hurry in the morning knows this. It takes a while. It takes a while to warm it up, and it takes what kind of time? What's the time frame here? Supposing we took out the dams right now to get the water back down to a reasonable temperature for the fish. What amount of time would it take?
Well, that's a good question. I think the answer is that we'd be talking about, you know, something on the order of weeks rather than months, you know, or years or anything. The difference is when you take if you picture puddles in your backyard, and in the morning when you go out and you know, stick your hand in the water, it's probably going to be a lot cooler. And in fact, in a natural river system, that's exactly what happens. You get variability between the daytime temperatures and nighttime temperatures, and the two tend to balance each other out. The problem is, even in that puddle that's cooler, it's warmer than it would have been if that were all fresh water the day before. It's all cumulative. And so that water warms, stays warmer through the evening and nighttime hours, and begins to warm faster in the day. If you take away that pond and or that puddle and you make it into a stream that is being constantly replenished with new water from upstream, those temperatures are going to be a lot lower. And that's really what's going on the Snake River system. You've got these pools of water that are warming up, staying warmer longer, and then warming even to a greater degree the next day, and the cycle repeats itself. And that's why we see, I mean, it is a lot of water. It's hard to really conceive of it, but that is why we see these temperatures going up so high.
I want to ask you another question. It seems to me that whenever we read about these decisions, we've got a number of them now to peruse. It's the way it's framed. The plaint is the fishing businesses, conservation groups, in other words, hikers, right? Clean energy advocates, State of Oregon, and then finally the Nez Perce tribe. Now, the Nez Perce are the only one of those Confederated tribes that always stood up to the federal government and attempted anyway to negotiate in good faith as a sovereign nation, negotiating with another sovereign nation. They will not sign treaties that are absolute, although they've lost an enormous amount of territory along the way. They have been managed to stand up to the pressure and some of the more illegal actions of the federal government. What role did the Nez Perce tribe play in the decision that Judge Michael Simon arrived at?
Yeah, so the Nez Perce has been a stalwart advocate for Snake River salmon in particular for longer than many people have been alive who are hearing this, and the Nez Perce has been right there along with the rest of us fighting for those salmon and steelhead since the beginning of these cases, starting way back in the early 90s. The Nez Perce geographically is located, the tribe and the reservation are located at the, you know, near the headwaters of the Snake, and so they were the first to feel the impacts of the four lower Snake River dams, and they are still the first and most affected by the impact of those dams on their treaty right to harvest fish.
Steve, hang on a moment. We're right up against the end of our time.
Yep.
I want to thank you very, very much. It's been great speaking with you today. My guest today has been Steve Mashude, who's one of the main attorneys with Earth Justice that was instrumental in the decision that Judge Michael Simon handed down just yesterday. Thanks so much again, Steve. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, May 5th. And Rock Mercer engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.